Hi there, it's Matt here, and welcome back to the third in this multi-part series talking all about the science of dreaming. Now, so far, we've learned about how your brain is able to dream, and also where dreams come from, and where they don't come from, in terms of their source and their origins. However, none of the science that we've discussed so far suggests that dreams, above and beyond the main stage of sleep from which they arise, which is REM sleep, have any real meaning. Do dreams have a function? Now, certainly we know that the stage of REM sleep, which is where we principally dream, that stage of sleep has many different functions, as we've discussed and we will continue to discuss on this podcast. But do we have any evidence that dreams themselves, independent of the stage of REM sleep, actually matter, actually make a difference in terms of how we function as human beings? Or alternatively, are dreams just epiphenomenal? In other words, are dreams just a byproduct of this thing called REM sleep from which they emerge? And dreams themselves are utterly meaningless. They have no function whatsoever. They have no purpose, no use. Now, to illustrate this concept of dreams as an epiphenomenon, let's consider a light bulb. Now, the reason that we construct the physical elements, the physical apparatus that is the light bulb, is to create light. That's the function of the light bulb. But it turns out that when you produce light in this way, you also produce this thing called heat. Now, heat was never the function or the purpose of the light bulb. Instead, heat is simply what happens when light is produced in this way. It's an unintended byproduct. In other words, heat is the epiphenomenon. And so goes the argument for dreams, meaning that evolution went to great lengths to construct the neural circuitry in the brain that produces this thing called REM sleep and all of the functions that REM sleep supports. However, when the brain produces REM sleep in this specific way, it also produces this byproduct of a thing that we call dreams. In other words, are dreams just the heat from the REM sleep light bulb? And they serve no function. Dreams are just an unintended, meaningless byproduct of this thing called REM sleep. It's rather a depressing thought, isn't it? Thankfully, it doesn't seem to be true, because we and other scientists have now shown that dreams are not the meaningless heat of the REM sleep light bulb. Instead, dreaming, above and beyond REM sleep itself, provides at least two essential benefits for us human beings. The first of those functions involves nursing our emotional and mental health, and that is going to be the focus of the rest of today's podcast. The second is all about memory processing, problem solving, and creativity, and that's what we'll discuss in the next episode. The sponsor supporting today's podcast is Inside Tracker, which I'm sure you've heard about from lots of top health experts in the field. Inside Tracker is a service that analyzes your blood and your DNA to better understand exactly what is happening inside of you, the unique biological snowflake, in terms of your health status. It's an ultra easy process. They come to your home, they do a blood draw, and then they run a set of diagnostics on your blood and your DNA. And you get two key returns on your investment. First, they will provide you with a full set of descriptive results regarding your varied blood, metabolic, and hormonal health metrics. And they'll also give you reference points so that you know, am I inside or outside of those standard healthy ranges? Second, Inside Tracker provides personalized suggestions for lifestyle changes that you can perform so that you can adjust some of those key metrics and better optimize them, especially ones that are outside of standard healthy ranges. So if you want to try Inside Tracker, just go over to insidetracker.com/Matt Walker, and you'll get 25% off any one of their programs. So that's insidetracker.com/Matt Walker to use their service at a discount. And now let's get back to the podcast. So coming back to these two functions of dreaming, of emotional and mental health, as well as memory and problem solving and creativity, both of these benefits require that you not only have REM sleep, or even that you dream, but that you dream about specific things in order for you to receive the benefit. So in the rest of this episode, we're going to focus on dreams as what I think of as emotional first aid. Now, several years ago, my research team and I decided to test the age-old wisdom that time heals all wounds. And what I wondered was whether there was a subtle tweak that could be made to this classic axiom. And we developed a theory of dreaming based on the unique patterns of brain activity and also the unique brain chemistry of REM sleep. And what we proposed was that REM sleep dreaming offered a form of overnight therapy, that dreaming helped dissolve and detox the visceral emotional charge that is wrapped around painful and even traumatic memories. Because what makes a memory emotional is that at the time of the experience, we release this visceral emotional reaction. And all of this emotional chemistry that's involved in the emotional reaction. And that wraps itself around the memory and red flags the memory as priority, as important. And that tags and bonds itself to the information, creating what we call an emotional memory. And through a series of different experiments, what we discovered is that it's REM sleep dreaming that it strips away that painful, bitter, emotional rind from the informational orange, as it were. It takes the painful sting out of difficult, even traumatic, emotional experiences. And what we discovered through this series of different studies, including MRI studies where we were looking deep into the brain, was that dreaming helped divorce the emotion from the memory. And it was offering this form of overnight therapy or emotional first aid. So it was a case of to sleep perchance to heal. As I mentioned at the start, it's not simply that you dream, but what you dream about matters. And specifically that we dream of those emotional events themselves to achieve this mental health resolution. And therefore, it keeps our minds safe from the clutches of anxiety and reactive depression. And this is what the pioneering dream researcher and now the late but great Dr. Rosalind Cartwright at Rush University in Chicago provided in her remarkable work with clinical patients. Cartwright decided to study the dreams of people who were showing signs of clinical depression as a consequence of incredibly difficult emotional experiences, such as a bitter traumatic divorce. Now, around the time of these emotional traumas, she started to collect their nightly dream reports. And as we would expect, all of the patients were dreaming. The big difference, however, was that some of her patients were dreaming about the trauma events, whilst other patients were dreaming, but they just weren't dreaming about those difficult traumatic experiences. And then she performed something clever. she did a follow-up assessment 1 year later, and that allowed her to determine whether the patient's depression and anxiety caused by the emotional trauma had been resolved, or instead whether that depression continued, whether it was persistent. And she made a striking discovery. It was only those patients who were dreaming and dreaming about the painful experiences themselves that went on to gain clinical resolution from their depression 1 year later. Whereas those who were dreaming and still having REM sleep, but not dreaming about those difficult experiences, they didn't seem to be able to get past the events. They were still suffering from a strong undercurrent of their depression. And what this collection of science teaches us is that when it comes to resolving our emotional difficulties, our emotional past, it's not enough to have REM sleep or even to have dreams, but we seem to be needing to dream of the events themselves to gain the benefit of that emotional therapy. Now, by the way, please don't start worrying that you are not remembering dreams of difficult experiences that you've been going through. Don't start getting concerned or freaking out. It doesn't mean that your sleeping brain isn't working on those issues. More likely is that you simply don't remember these dreams. And if I brought you into my sleep center and were to wake you up during the night when you were having some REM sleep, those dream reports would reflect that, in fact, you are exactly doing what you need to be doing in terms of your emotional processing. And so, to sum it up, what we're really discovering here is that one of the functions of dreaming is to serve as almost a wonderful set of emotional windscreen wipers. Or to butcher another analogy, when we wake up each morning after a night with dreaming, we are essentially going to be dressed in a very different set of psychological clothing to that which we went to sleep in. And to come full circle and return to that common wisdom that I'd set out to test in the studies that I described in our sleep center, what we came to understand is that it is not time that heals all wounds, but rather it is time spent in dream sleep that provides emotional convalescence. And it reminds me of a wonderful quote from the entrepreneur E. Joseph Kosman, who once said that the best bridge between despair and hope is a good night of sleep. And that's exactly what our studies have been teaching us. And with that, I will bid you farewell, and I hope you will join me in the next episode in this series about dreams. And there we will speak about dream-inspired creativity and problem solving. Thanks so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.